You came here this morning needing to be lifted up, needing to be encouraged, needing to be strengthened. You've picked the right Sunday. God continues to do miracles in our midst. 7 souls baptized, given the gift of life, everlasting life. Wonderful song, a children's sermon pointing in that direction. And it just so happens in God's economy of things, He has chosen 1 Peter 3 as our epistle lesson for today, another text about victory in Christ. So grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, He Descended into Hell. Based on 1 Peter 3, our epistle, let me read verses 18 and 19 to you again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which He went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. I invite you to turn in your bulletin outline and find the pink insert there. You'll find the sermon outline. As we consider our theme, He Descended into Hell. Week after week, we confess the words. But do we understand what they mean? I'm referring to the words of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed has its origins in the earliest New Testament church, from the very pages of Holy Scripture. And we have this creed in the 3-part memory form, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which was written around the 300s in 300 AD. It's a statement of faith when we say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, and I believe in God the Holy Spirit. And this Apostles' Creed is the part of every service of baptism. If you noticed in the order of service this morning, the first part of the service, as we prepared for baptism, was nothing more than a responsive sharing of the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed is the basis upon which every adult and youth confirmation class is taught. And later in today's service, if 7 souls being baptized didn't wake you up to the blessings of God, as 37 souls are welcomed as new members in this place, you see, it was the Apostles' Creed that was the basis of their instruction into this faith. The Creed says these words as a summary of this text from 1 Peter. It says, Jesus was crucified, died, and buried, and then, the key word for our sermon today, He descended into hell. What does this mean, that He descended into hell? Notice your outline. Jesus' descent into hell does not refer to His suffering in hell. This is a common misunderstanding by many Christians. The idea that Jesus went to hell to suffer in my place, this is not biblical teaching. If you could say He suffered hell on earth, the hell He suffered was when He was on the cross. Because the most accurate definition of hell is separation from God or existence apart from God's presence. And when Jesus hung on the cross, bearing the filth and the sin of the world, the Heavenly Father, with His perfect holiness, turned His back on the Son as He bore our sins. And then we hear Jesus cry out those most awful of words. He cries out words that define hell on earth when He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Why did God the Father forsake His Son? The answer is, that He might never forsake you or forsake me who put our trust in Jesus. So then, what does this 1 Peter 3 text mean when it says, after His crucifixion, Jesus went into the prison and proclaimed? Or according to the Creed, what does it mean when He descended into hell? Well, there have been various explanations of this descent. Some of them are listed for you in your outline. The medieval church The church around 1000 to 1400 AD thought Jesus' descent into hell had something to do with the Old Testament saints. That is, that somehow after the cross, Jesus went to the realm of the dead to lead the Old Testament saints to glory. But even a better understanding of that, which isn't really accurate, was a medieval play written about 1100 AD entitled The Heroine of Hell. Let me help you understand what that play was about. First of all, if there's anyone here with any farming background, you know what harrowing means. Harrowing means to turn the soil up, to plow it up and turn it upside down. And so when this play is entitled The Heroine of Hell, just like Don explained it in the children's sermon, Jesus descended into hell not to suffer. He had won the victory. He had already suffered on the cross. He went to hell to march to the very throne of the devil and to say to the devil, "You thought you won. You thought on the cross when I died you had won the victory." But Jesus says to him, and I can't do a good Arnold Schwarzenegger imitation, "I've come back." Jesus says to the devil, "I have come back from the dead to defeat you." And in this play, Jesus spits in the devil's face, takes his crown, crushes it under his feet, takes the devil's scepter, breaks it over his knee, and says to the devil, "And now I've come for you." So when the scripture says Jesus descended into hell, this medieval play gives us a picture of what that could be like. Look at point B. Sad to say, though, some churches today that call themselves Christian omit this phrase when they say the creed. Some churches, when they say the Apostles' Creed, leave out of it, "He descended into hell," because they see this as simply a symbolic event that happened at the cross. So they cut it out of the creed. But note, these are the same churches that deny the real presence of Christ in Holy Communion, saying that is just a symbol as well. If you want a very simple and precise explanation of what it means that he descended into hell, look on your outline right now. Roman numeral 2, point C. I'm going to have us read that aloud together, so let your eyes find that. In Lutheran theology, in a writing called The Formula of Concord, written in 1577, it's just a summary of Lutheran belief. Here's a simple paragraph about the descent into hell. Let's read it aloud. "We simply believe that Christ, after the burial, descended into hell, conquered the devil, destroyed the power of hell, and took from the devil all his might. He destroyed hell for all believers, delivered them from the power of death and the power of the devil and from the jaws of hell." That is to say, Jesus' descent into hell was not for suffering, but was for victory. And if it helps you keep it in mind, think of that play, The Heroine of Hell. But let's take a look now at the only Bible passage in Scripture that describes this historic event. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. We're going to look at it phrase by phrase. I've laid it out there for you. It says, "He," Jesus, "died for sins once and for all." He died for sins. Jesus on the cross offered himself to be the payment for the sins of the world. Once and for all, it says. That is to say, there is no sin of any kind at any time that has not been paid for by Jesus. That's wonderful news for you and me. You can never wake up and say, "Could God ever forgive me for this sin?" The scripture says he has died once and for all of our sins. The phrase goes on to say, "He was the righteous for the unrighteous." The righteous, that's Jesus, died for the unrighteous, that's you and me. This is what we call the great exchange. Jesus got what we deserved: the hell of separation from the Father on the cross, and death as a payment for sin. But we got what he deserves: the glory of eternity and life forever in heaven. Well, 1 Peter's text goes on. It says, he was put to death in the body. Notice the verb is not active, it's passive. That is, it was done to Jesus. It doesn't say Jesus died, it says he was put to death. Why is that important? It tells us that Jesus was put to death as part of God's plan. Jesus was made our substitute. Jesus was the sacrifice God gave to be put to death for you and for me. The text goes on to say, and he was made alive with respect to the Spirit. Again, it's a passive, not an active verb. Jesus was made alive by the Heavenly Father when he rose on Easter Sunday. When Jesus died on the cross, you remember what else he said beside, why have you forsaken me? The last thing he said was this, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And here it says, after the crucifixion, after the sins of the world had been paid for, the Heavenly Father raised Jesus from death and returned his spirit to his body. Now comes the key verse of the whole text, verse 19. And then he went and preached to the spirits in prison. First of all, the phrase, he went and preached, verse 19. As Don said, if you were looking for a sermon title, for if Jesus printed a sermon outline, his title for the sermon in hell was, In Your Face, Satan. There's a unique Greek word for the word preach in this text. It does not mean to preach the gospel so people come to faith. It means to proclaim a victory over an enemy. It's the same word used in biblical times when a victorious general would parade through the city streets and someone would go ahead of him and shout, the general has won, the general has won, the victory is his. In the text it says, Jesus preached this kind of message to the devil, I have won the battle forever. And the verse goes on, it says, he went and preached, but who did he preach to? It says, the spirits who were in prison. Now we're asking, who was the first congregation? This is almost funny. The first congregation of Jesus' proclamation of his victory. It was the spirits in prison. Who are they? Revelation 9 tells us this. The prison is where demons and unbelievers are kept. Revelation says, the bottomless pit, the prison for every foul spirit, the dwelling place of the demons. This is where Jesus proclaimed his first victory. Did you catch it? This is an amazing text. The spirits in prison are those who rejected God's grace, whether the angels before creation that fell with Lucifer or those on the people on earth have rejected God's grace. In the fuller biblical context, this prison is the region of the damned where all unbelievers and demons and the devil dwell. So please note, Jesus' descent into hell was the first step in his glorious exaltation as Lord over all. We can't say this enough. Jesus did not descend into hell to suffer. He went there to proclaim a victory, and it's step one in his lordship over all creation. Listen to Colossians 2, verse 15. Speaking of Jesus, having disarmed the principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them through the cross. The principalities and powers spoken of in this text are the devil and the demons. And making a public spectacle of them refers to when prisoners were taken in war, and they were stripped of all their weapons and marched in shame for everyone to see. It says that is what happened when Jesus rose from the grave. He turned the devil and his demons into enemies of war. He had won the war, and now he made a public spectacle of them. Now, we get to our conclusion, and at this point I'm going to ask you to open up your hymnals to the back cover of the hymnal. We're now going to confess the words of the Creed with thanksgiving and joy and understanding. And from now on, whenever you confess these words of the Creed, he descended into hell, you know it's a thing of glory and victory. Just the second article of the Apostles' Creed, when it begins, "And in Jesus Christ." And when we get to the key phrase about descending, pay particular attention. Let's say it together. "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead." And we'll stop there. Today, all you newly baptized, all the new members soon to be welcomed, veteran members, I wanted to say old members, but that could be taken the wrong way, veteran members, newly baptized, all visitors, today, we thank God for Jesus' descent into hell. We thank God that Jesus went there to preach a in-your-face Satan sermon. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, that you did it all for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.